You're listening to the Church on the Move Roswell podcast. We hope this message inspires you, encourages you, and challenges you to take your next step with Jesus. Thanks for listening. Let's check it out.
You know, I want to talk about a couple things this morning. We're going to talk about the Holy Spirit and how, as we see things taking place in our world and around us, how much more we need to get to know God the Holy Spirit. Amen. And so I want to show you some things. But the first thing I want to show you is Psalms 18:2, because I want to remind you of this. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. I just want to remind you that no matter what is happening, good, you might be experiencing great good things, tough things, it doesn't matter. He's the same. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's the same in the good times. He's the same in the tough times. He is your rock. He is your fortress, and he's your deliverer. He says this, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my shield, and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. You know, that word stronghold used a couple different times. One, in a negative way, there can be strongholds in our mind, lies, and things we believe that are not true that can get a stronghold of us. But this is used in a good way, that we're holding on strong to him because we know he is these things to us. And so no matter what is happening in our world, no matter whether it's personal or you're looking at the bigger picture of what's going on around us, he is our rock. He is our fortress. He is our refuge, and we can trust in him. Amen. And so I just want to start off encouraging you with that, because where I'm about to go is challenging. There's some challenging times. There's some challenging things in our nation and in our world. And, you know, when I talk about the leading of the Holy Spirit, from the very beginning, he was leading. He was leading in the Old Testament. When he would come upon people, he would lead them and give them supernatural strength or abilities or wisdom. But, and they needed it, and we need it as much now in the what we call the latter days, the Bible calls the latter days, than even they did then. And so, because there's things happening around us that are really important, and I'm going to talk about something that happened last night and kind of the biblical reference to it, and just to set up our great need, our tremendous need to know the ministry of the Holy Spirit and how to be led by the Spirit. Because we need it, like I said, more now than ever. And so I want to show you something in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 38. We're going to start in verse 1. It's quite a bit of reading, but I'm not going to read the whole thing. But it says this in verse 1. Now the word of the Lord came to me, saying, this is Ezekiel the prophet, and he begins to prophesy. Son of man, set your face against Gog of the land of Magog, the prince of Rosh, Meshech, and Tubal, and prophesy against him. And so he's saying, Ezekiel, I want you to begin to prophesy against Gog and against what they lead, the princes, and there's all kinds of imagery, and there's also some very specific nations that are mentioned. And we know, as we studied before last year, when we studied through some of Revelations instead of some of the prophecy in the latter days, that we recognize that that involves Russia. That involves Russia. That was Russia's old name. That was part of their provinces and part of their territory. So we know he is speaking directly to Russia. And so as he goes forward, he starts naming other nations in this list of nations and people, and he talks about Israel being restored and restoring the wastelands. Israel has restored, not only are they restored as a nation in 1947, but they have gone in and restored deserts. They've turned deserts into beautiful farmlands. I mean, they have totally restored that whole area that was basically a wasteland. No one wanted that property. Hardly anybody inhabited half of that property. And they've come in and made it so beautiful and so valuable and so incredible that now a lot of people want it. And so they've done some incredible things. Someone just told me in between services that now Israel, that there are companies, Coca-Cola, Pepsi, other companies are going to Israel and officing their engineers and officing their people, because a lot of the people that work for those corporations live in Israel and they refuse to move. So they're pulling their headquarters, their offices to the nation of Israel. Israel is prospering incredibly right now. And they've discovered tons of oil and gas off the coastline of Israel. Israel's becoming so wealthy, so powerful, and so desirable that that's one of the reasons why these nations pay so much attention to it. Now, you have to understand, Israel's smaller than New Jersey, the state of New Jersey. If you look on a map, you can hardly find the state of New Jersey. Israel's that little, and yet it's the source in the, it's on every headline. Every time you look around and you talk about anything going on in our world, you can't, they might talk about what's happened in America and London or Paris or wherever, but Israel's going to be right there. Matter of fact, right now today, they're at the forefront of every headline because last night, Iran launched 300 drones and missiles at Israel last night. And so because they believe Israel, when I believe Israel did it, blew up their consulate with a bunch of terrorists and people in it that have been terrorizing, threatening, and killing Israeli citizens and threatening their nation. And so that was their so-called retaliation. Even though Israel hasn't claimed that they did that, we're pretty sure either we did it or they did it, did that to that consulate. I'm pretty sure it was Israel. And so Iran responds. And so what does Iran have to do with Russia? Well, Iran and Russia are best friends and great allies. Tremendous. They might be the closest of allies. And you have to understand, for thousands of years, they have been mortal enemies. When I lived in the nation of Iran, the Russian army was on the border between Iran and Russia, ready to protect itself from Iran. They were mortal enemies when I lived there. And so Iran has been an enemy of Russia for a lot, most of history, until the last probably 30, 40 years. Now they have become, over that period of time, best of friends, best of allies. And so what does that have to do with Ezekiel's prophecy? Well, he goes on to prophesy about the nation of Persia. Iran, unlike the rest of the Arab world, I learned this when I lived in Iran, everybody else speaks Aramaic except Iran. They speak Farsi. Why? Because they're not Arabs, they're Persians. Most people don't realize Iranians are not Arabs, they are Persians, than the rest of the Arab world. And so they have a different culture, a different language, and different thoughts. And because they're the ancient Persia, they are mentioned in Ezekiel's prophecy because they were Persia at the time, that it is Persia and Russia that are going to be the leaders of an attack against the nation of Israel. And it's going to be in the latter days. Let's keep reading. We're going to read through this pretty quickly now. Son of man, set your face against Gog, Land of Magog, the prince of Rosh, Meshech, and Tubal, and prophesy against him. Next verse. And say, thus says the Lord, behold, I am against you, O Gog, the prince of Rosh, Meshech, and Tubal. Next verse. I will turn you around, put hooks into your jaws, and lead you out with all your army horses, horsemen, all splendidly clothed, the great company with bucklers, shields, and all of them handling swords. Next verse. Persia, that's Iran, Ethiopia, and Libya are with them, all of them with shield and helmet. That means they're coming with their armies. Gomer and all its troops, the house of Togarmah from the far north and all its troops, many people are with you. Now, I'm not going to go into all those nations. I taught that last year, but for time's sake, we're just going to keep moving. But a lot of nations, and those are modern nations now, all of these names that are right there on the border of Israel. Next verse. Prepare yourself and be ready, you and all your companies that are gathered about you, and be a guard for them. Next verse. After many days, you will be visited in the, what's that word? Latter years, you will come into the land of those brought back from the sword and gathered from many people on the mountains of Israel, which had long been desolate. They were brought out of the nations, and now all of them dwell in safety. So what it's saying is that in the latter days, Israel's going to come back, and people from all over the nations, even those put to the sword, it's talking about those that were prosecuted in Germany and around the world, have come back, and they dwell safely in the land of Israel, because they don't have to worry about everybody trying to kill them, that the nations they're living in, because they have their own nation. And God has restored it in the latter days. In the latter days. And this war that is coming is in the latter days. It is referred to in Revelations as the Battle of Armageddon. The Battle of Armageddon. And without having to read a ton of Ezekiel 38 and 39, what you're going to find out is that these armies array against Israel, Actually, let's read a couple more verses because there's some interesting stuff. It says right here. Go to the next verse. You will ascend coming like a storm, covering the land like a cloud. You and all your troops and many peoples with you. Next verse. Thus says the Lord God, on that day it shall come to pass that thoughts will arise in your mind and you will make an evil plan. Next verse. You will say, I will go up against a land of unwalled villages. I will go to a peaceful people who dwell safely, all of them dwelling without walls and having neither bars nor gates. Next verse. Otherwise, what he's talking about is they're saying they don't have anybody protecting them. They're just in this by themselves. No one is protecting them. Next verse. To take plunder, to take booty, to stretch out your hand against the waste places that are again inhabited. That's what they did. They took waste places and inhabited them. And against the people gathered from the nations, that's Israel, who have acquired livestock and goods and who dwell in the midst of the land. Next verse. They're coming to kill them. Sheba, Dedan, the merchants of Tarshish, and all their young lions will say to you, have you come to take plunder? Have you gathered your army to take booty, to carry away silver and gold, to take away livestock, goods, to take great plunder? This is one of the one few references that it talks about. People think it talks about America, the young lions, or the cubs of the lion. England was considered the lion. That was their symbol. America and Australia are considered their cubs, the young lions, cubs. Young lions are cubs. We're considered their cubs, birthed out of England, out of that nation to other nations. And this is the only reference it has to us in what people believe is to us. And our response to all of this is, what are you doing? Why are you there? Otherwise, we're not going to add any protection. We're not going to fight for Israel. We're just going to start asking, are you there for this reason? Are you there for that reason? What are you there for? And so we're in all these political negotiations and trying to determine the purpose and the plan and why Israel's surrounded by their enemies. But what comes next is unbelievable, unbelievable defense of the Lord their God. Listen to the next verse. He says, therefore, son of man, prophesy and say to Gog, thus says the Lord God, on that day when my people Israel dwell safely, will you not know it? This is what he's talking about. Then you will come from your place out of the far north, which is Russia, and it's straight north of Jerusalem, of Israel, and you and many peoples with you, all of them riding on horses, a great company and a mighty army. Next verse. And you will come against my people Israel like a cloud to cover the land. It will be in the that I will bring you against my land so that the nations may know me when I am hallowed in you, O Gog, before their eyes. Listen, next verse. Thus says the Lord God, are you he of whom I have spoken in former days by my servants, the prophets of Israel, who prophesied for years in those days that I would bring you against them? He's prophesied he's going to bring them. Next verse. And it will come to pass at that same time when God comes against the land of Israel, says the Lord God, that my fury will show in my face. And so he goes on to say, there's going to be great earthquakes, that the earth is going to open up on these armies. There's going to be hailstones like fires like on Sodom and Gomorrah, hailstones the size of Volkswagens that explode like meteorites hitting this army. There's going to be floods. There's going to be all this. And you know what they're going to say happened? Climate change. You're laughing. But I just heard some of our leaders in our country blame the earthquake in New Jersey on climate change. I mean, it's the craziest thing I've ever heard. And so they're going to blame this. They're going to say, well, that's climate. They didn't lose because God did it. They lost because of climate change. But we're going to know who did it. It was our God. Our God will fight. Even though all the rest of the nations are going to bow out, our God will fight. So why is it so significant to talking about being led by the Holy Spirit? Because in these latter days, we need to be led by the Spirit. And guys, I don't know if this is coming to pass in a year from now, 6 months from now, or 50 years from now. I don't know. But I do know this is the signs of the times. And I do know that when you want to look at Bible prophecy, you don't look to America, you don't look to your neighbor, you look to Israel. Because Bible prophecy is all about what's happening in Israel. All about what's happening in Israel. Now, we do know that in the New Testament, it talked about signs of our times, that that statement is to us that we can see in our nation the signs of the times, because it talks about the rise of homosexuality, the rise of killing babies, the rise of people's pride, people's arrogance towards God, the rejection of God. I mean, we see the signs of our times. And so we're seeing the signs of our times, but we're also seeing some of the gathering of these nations. All of these nations mentioned are already all tied together completely. All on one page. And they have one thought. The destruction of Israel. The destruction of Israel. And so, Iran launching, this is the first time Iran in the history since the Persian Empire has launched an attack from their country on Israel. They've been using Hezbollah and Hamas, all these other terrorist groups, to attack Israel, and they fund them, they feed them the weapons, but they have never personally attacked till last night. Now Israel has said, Iran said, hey, you hit our embassy, we hit you back, you knocked down 90% of those missiles and those drones, so hey, we're cool, we're good, we can just call it even. Well, oh man. My friend and I, named Stormy, you know, we had a statement that if you messed with us, he would say it a lot. I picked up on it. He'd say, hey, man, I'm like Israel. I will retaliate. In Israel, if you kill 15 of them, they'll kill 150 of you. They do not. They have been so tortured, so demoralized, and so systematically destroyed, 6 million in the Holocaust. They are not playing. Their logo, their national saying is never again. So if you punch them in the eye, they're going to take out both your eyes. They always escalate. So I don't know. I know several of their generals that said, this is not over. You're not going to launch 300 weapons at us and then say, hey, you know what? You got your punch in. I got my punch in. Let's call it even. Oh, they've said, no, we don't think so. So I don't know where this escalates to. It might be on pause because everybody's calling for a pause. We don't know where this goes. But I want you to be aware of the prophecy and the prophecies that are taking place right on our television screens. God's word is always true. And so that comes to why I believe God led me to teach about God the Holy Spirit. Because we need to be led by the Spirit of God more now than we ever have in our lives. Not just for the bigger picture, but even in our personal lives. Because we're navigating waters that I know as I grew up in our nation that I didn't have to navigate. There are many things that our young people and you as a parent and you as an adult, you as a young person are having to navigate through that didn't exist when I was a child. Matter of fact, some of you in your 30s would say, it's changed dramatically even since I was in high school. Some of you in your mid-20s have said, even in the last 5, 6, 7 years, it's changed dramatically. Our children, our young people, and all of us as adults, we need the leading and guidance of the Holy Spirit. And so in order to know the Holy Spirit, you have to know his ministry. To know him, you have to know his purpose, his calling, what his ministry is to us. So we're going to go back to our founding. Well, no, we're going to look at another verse first. What Jesus said and what the Word of God says about who lives inside of us. 1 John 4:4 says this. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, talking about the world, because he who is in you is, come on, church, than he who is in the world. Who's in us? The Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, and he's greater than he that is in this world. Why is he greater? Because he is God, the Holy Spirit, living inside of you. One Christian full of the Spirit, full of the Holy Spirit, has more power than all of what he's referring to, the world, Satan and all his demons combined. One Christian has more authority and more power. He said, greater in you. He's talking about individuals, and he's talking about us corporately as the body of Christ, the church. He who lives in us is greater than he who lives in the world. The Holy Spirit living in you is greater than all the power of Satan. That's why when I talk about, and we're going to get to what Jesus said, that in my name, we're going to talk about those things, you'll do these things, that you'll have authority over demons and devils. Listen, guys, I never am afraid or fearful of confronting a demonic entity. They're afraid of me. Why? Not because of Troy Smotherman. They're not afraid of 5'9 and a half, you know, squinty-eyed, bow-legged Troy. But they are afraid of the greater one who lives inside of me, the Holy Spirit. And they're afraid of you too. When you know certain things about who you are in the ministry of the Holy Spirit, that's when you begin to operate in what God wants you to operate in. Now let's go to our principle, our founding scripture that and I started this message on last Sunday. John 16:7 says this. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is for your advantage, to your advantage. Or another translation said, it is better for you that I go away, for if I do not go away, the Helper, the Holy Spirit, will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. I will send him to you. He's the third person of the Godhead, the Holy Spirit. But most of the time, we don't know who the Holy Spirit is. People know, understand Father, they understand Son, Jesus Christ, but they don't know, understand the Holy Spirit. But he wants us to understand him. We need to understand him in his ministry, in this world and in our life, so that because that's who's operating on the earth now. Jesus said, I'm going to go away, and it's better that I go, and until I finish what I'm doing, I cannot send him. But when I finish what I'm doing and I go away, then I can send you the Holy Spirit. Why? Because Jesus could minister to the apostles and the disciples that were following him when he was there in body, right? But when he goes away, he can send the same Spirit that was in him, the Holy Spirit, and live inside of all of us and do the ministry of Jesus. The Holy Spirit comes to testify about Jesus. What was the ministry of Jesus to the disciples? He taught them. He taught them truth. He taught them revelation. He encouraged them. He empowered them. All the things that Jesus did personally to the disciples and apostles that followed him when he was on the earth, now that same Spirit lives in us, and he teaches us, gives us revelation, gives us power and authority. I mean, it's now spread among all of us instead of just in one location with one group of people. Now that same Spirit can live all around the world in us and operating us. That's why he says this, not only is greater he that is in you than is in the world, but he said, these things I have done and greater works will you do. Not in quality, but in quantity. Why? Because the Holy Spirit can be everywhere all at once, and as many people that have accepted the Holy Spirit, accepted Jesus as Lord, he can live in all, so that we can do more quantity of things, not quality. We're not going to exceed the works of Jesus, but in quantity, now we can operate all around the world, all at once, all the time, 24/7, 365 days a year. Because he dwells in all of us that have received it. Amen? And that's why he said greater works in quantity. You go out throughout the whole world and make this happen by the power of the Holy Spirit. But we have to understand the ministry of the Spirit and why he came and what he's designed to do. And I want to show you something in Jesus' baptism. That when Jesus went to John, he said, John, you need to baptize me. And John said, man, dude, I'm not even qualified to unloose your sandal straps. You should be baptizing me. And Jesus said, no, for everything to be fulfilled, you have to baptize me. What has to be fulfilled? Jesus did everything that he requires us to do, asks us to do. Everything. Everything. So, the Bible teaches us man baptized with water, but Jesus baptizes with the Holy Spirit, right? So Jesus set the example. When he got water baptized, When he came up, what happened? God the Father spoke, and who showed up? The Holy Spirit. And it came on him like a dove. I know we show a picture of a dove that represents the Holy Spirit, but it doesn't say as a dove. It wasn't a bird flying, but like a dove. And if you've ever seen doves land and how they come in, it's just kind of cool. They're real. It's kind of, I don't know what the word is. It's sweet. It's almost like, it's just real light. It's like, so he came like a dove like that and rested on Jesus. So Jesus got water baptized. Then he got baptized in the Holy Spirit. He tells us to be water baptized, then to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. There's two times the Holy Spirit shows up. He shows up in water baptism, because water baptism represents we're surrendering our life to the Lordship of Christ. He shows up and he takes our dead spirit and quickens it and makes it alive. Gives us eternal life, eternal life in our spirit. But there's a subsequent work called the baptism of the Holy Spirit that empowers us to live that life and to operate in what they call the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Now, so let's go back to Jesus. He gets water baptized. The Holy Spirit comes on him. And then what happens next? The next verse in Matthew 4 says this. It says, and being led by the, he went into the wilderness. So the first ministry of the Holy Spirit is to lead you. You want to know the Holy Spirit? His first ministry is to lead you and me. And until you yield and are baptized in the Holy Spirit and are led by the Spirit, you cannot discover, you might be saved, but you cannot discover nor live the life that God intended you to live until you learn to be led by the Holy Spirit. Pastor Troy proved that. Well, I believe I just proved it in Jesus' ministry that if he got water baptized, he's baptized in the Spirit, and then he's led by the Spirit. Gosh, he's our example how a human being should operate on earth. He's perfect, unlike us. We're to be led by the Holy Spirit. Now, let's go to Romans 8. I want to show you some things. Romans 8, verse 10 says this, and if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit, everybody say the Spirit, that's not our spirit, that's the Holy Spirit, is life because of righteousness. So he's saying, listen, if once you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord of your life, the Holy Spirit comes, because when we're born, our spirit is dead. Our mind is in our flesh, in it, but our spirit is. We're born into sin, so that with sin comes death. Because of the first Adam, we're born into sin and born into death. So that's why when people don't accept Jesus Christ as the Lord and the Holy Spirit doesn't come in their spirit and make it alive, because they're dead, dead people can't go to heaven. They go to the place of the dead, hell, where death reigns over them forever. People that are alive go where life is. That's heaven. Where life, the life of God reigns over us forever. So the Holy Spirit comes in and saves you, renews you, and gives your spirit life. And it sets you right with God. That's the mark, that's the seal the Bible talks about in the spiritual realm. When you are born again and the Spirit of God raises your spirit from the dead and gives you life, in the spiritual realm, whether demon or angel, when they see you, you have a mark. What's the mark? What's the seal? The mark and seal is you have the Holy Spirit living in you. Okay? That is different than the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Listen to this. Next verse. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. So not only does he give you life on the inside, he said he'll give life to your mortal body. To your mortal body, this body. So the Holy Spirit dwelling in us gives us life even in our mortal body, we should be expecting that because we're the temple of the Holy Spirit, that our bodies and minds function at the highest possible level. We should be expecting that. Next verse. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. When we receive the Holy Spirit resurrection power inside of us, we no longer owe a debt to sin. That's why I always say, people who say, I'm just a no good sinner, saved by grace. Listen, if you're saved by grace, you're no longer a sinner. You have no more debt to sin, and you shouldn't even say that out of your mouth. That is the exact opposite of what Jesus, you're acknowledging what people, I know what people use that for. I've been around enough Christians to know why they say that. They say that to justify the sins they're still tolerating. But when you understand who you are in Christ and that the Spirit of the living God lives inside of you, you know you have no more debt to sin. You owe sin no debt. You're no longer obligated to be controlled by it at all. It doesn't mean you don't sin, but you don't have a heart to practice sin and stay in sin. There is a constant resistance coming from the inside of you against your flesh and against sin, and that comes only from the Holy Spirit. Next verse. Yeah, you could clap for joy, man. God's good. That's why we're so changed. I mean, I don't know about you. I'm not the same person I was. Just in the last couple of weeks, you know, there's certain times this hits me. I've just been meditating so much on where would I be without God? Where would I be without the Lord Jesus and the Holy Spirit that changed my heart, my very nature, from a nature to sin to a nature that wants to do right? Sometimes I think, oh my gosh, I was so in darkness that I was talking to two men just the other day, two brothers, and we were talking about this, and they said, man, they said the same thing I always say without me even saying it. They said, I would be dead or in prison. I know my life would be miserable because I was already miserable. Adding money, power, fame would just make me more miserable. I wouldn't have been able to achieve those things without Jesus Christ saving my life. Not those things, but even living past those moments in my life without the Lord Jesus Christ. He's radically changed so many of us. We are not the same people going the same direction we used to be. We know that. Come on. That's the Holy Spirit. Next verse. For if you live according to the flesh, you will. Man. We no longer have an obligation to yield to the flesh because now we have the Spirit of God inside of us that encourages us to live for Christ. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. So what is one of the things that the Holy Spirit does when you're born again? It starts helping you put to death the things of the flesh. It starts helping you say, hey, hold on a second. I know my flesh wants to do this, this, and this, but I know that's wrong and evil. That's sin, and it will hurt, harm me. Man, nah, the Holy Spirit inside of me saying, no, let's do this, this, and this. He helps you put to death the deeds of the body, and he says, you will live a life here worth living and giving away, and definitely one in the future forever, amen. That life will be worth living even more so. Next verse. For as many as are led by the, these are the, I'm going to stop right here and tell you another ministry of the Holy Spirit. First ministry of the Holy Spirit is you got to learn to be led by the Spirit. Do you notice when you learn to be led by the Spirit, what happens? You get your identity. Listen, the first thing Holy Spirit wants to teach you to do is to be led by the Spirit. He helps you put to death the deeds of the flesh, and because he wants to lead you to your identity. And when you find your identity, you find your purpose. So that's why so many people are scrambling to find, what do I do? What do I do for a living? Because they don't know who they are. When you know who you are, you know your purpose. Listen to this next verse. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear slavery to sin, but you received the spirit of adoption by who we cry out, Father. So, Jesus knew he was the only begotten Son of Almighty God. And because he knew that, he knew exactly what his mission and purpose was. He knew where to be and where not to be. There was times he was in one place, got up the next morning and said, we got to go to this place. There was another time he was there and said, I got to go to Jerusalem. I got to go finish this. He knew he was led by the Spirit, and because he knew who he was, he knew his identity, he knew his purpose and God's mission for his life. He knew he was and is the only begotten Son of Almighty God. He knew that. But here's my question. Do you know who you are? Because this scripture says we cry. That doesn't mean, ooh. No, that means we shout with a loud voice. I am a blood-bought, adopted child of the Most High God. I'm a son of God. I'm a daughter of God. Who do you say you are? Because the Spirit of God has come to tell you who you are. So when you know your identity, you know your purpose and the plan of God. And you can be led by the Spirit of God to your purpose and his plan for your life. But you got to know who you are. You got to know your identity. So that's why you hear these terms all the time, identity politics. I'm white, middle class. The world's always telling you, white, middle class, white, this, black, this, brown, this. It's always trying to tell you your identity, who you are. You're Latino X. You're this, you're that, you're that. Always trying to tell you, the world is always trying to identify you and trying to get you to identify. That's why we have gender identity now, because Satan's trying to pervert the identities that God gave you. He gave two identities, sexually, a man and a woman. That's the only two identities. But if you don't identify as what God says to identify as, if you don't identify as a blood-bought daughter or son of the Most High God, then you will never know who you are. The world will, Satan will fill in the blank. He'll just fill it in, pervert it, twist it, your identity. What did Satan do when Jesus was led by the Spirit out to the wilderness? He questioned his identity. The first thing he did was Lucifer himself questioned the identity of Jesus. If you are the Son of God. This would be a great day when we understand who we are. Because we're being led by the Spirit, he leads us to cry out by the Spirit of adoption. I want you to understand Jewish adoption. In the Jewish culture, if you were my natural son, biological child, I could reject you and write you out of the inheritance. But if I adopted you, if I went out and sought you out and adopted you, I could neither deny you nor write you out of the inheritance. Can't do it. You know what's amazing to me is here's the Jewish people who have denied their Messiah, but God's still keeping his word. And some of you are thinking, because I committed this sin, I deserve this, this, and this. Let me tell you something. Even when we don't keep our end of the covenant, God always keeps his end of the covenant. Because he will not keep his word to us. When your children do something wrong, I hope you don't put them in a trash bag and throw them out. You might want to do that every once in a while. It's like, get out, you know. But that's not what you do. Even when they violate the covenant you have as parent, child, you don't violate it. You keep loving them. You keep caring for them. You keep praying for them. You keep encouraging them. You won't give up on them. Gosh, if we're capable of that, how much more is our Heavenly Father capable of never giving up on you? Listen, we only by the Holy Spirit and understanding the ministry of the Holy Spirit to lead, to teach, to lead, to give us our identity, can you really live out God's plan for your life And these are the days we need to know how to navigate this life. He says, I want to teach you personally how to be led so that I can show you the future things that are coming. If I can trust you to do the things I'm dealing with you right now, then I will, if I can trust you with that, to be obedient to that, to do that, then I can trust you with your future. And he'll begin to tell you things and say things. And it's been prophesied in the Old Testament and the New Testament, in the latter days, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy, and they will see visions. Visions are daydreams of supernatural things for their life and for others. And old men will dream dreams, seeing supernatural things in the night of what is and what will come. But he first has to trust us to be led personally. If he can't lead you here, how can he lead you in the future? How can he take you to some other place? It's so vital that we understand the ministry and purpose. We understand the ministry of the purpose of God the Father, the Creator. We understand the ministry and purpose of God the Son, the Messiah. But we have to understand the ministry of God the Holy Spirit that is operating right now, right here, in here, us, in us. Amen. Listen, every eye closed here and online, I just ask you to remove some distractions, and I just want to encourage you, don't think about what happened this morning or even get caught up in something I've said or didn't say, or something you're going to do when you leave here, and you're going to beat everybody to the children's department or beat everybody to the coffee shop or beat everybody to your car. Don't, just lay that aside for a second. And think about this. Without surrendering your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, I mean surrendering all of it, not just a piece of it, Pastor Troy, if I do that, will I be perfect? No, you won't be. I'm not, you're not. Better's not a good word. Things will be completely different on the inside of you. And that'll start manifesting on the outside of you too. If you'll yield to the Holy Spirit, if you'll yield to Jesus. You know, this is what I love about God. He never's going to force you to do anything. He's such a loving God, creator and father, that it's always your choice. Satan wants to drive you, push you, and possess you, control you. God wants none of that. When the Spirit of God enters your life, he doesn't want to control you. It's a relationship. It's a partnership. You still are in control of your choices. God never wants to violate that in you. So you have a choice right now. Do I yield to the living God? For all other things that are worshiped are dead. That's why they call him the living God. He's alive. Do I receive the Holy Spirit and let him change my very nature from darkness to light, to the kingdom of darkness, to the kingdom of heaven? Do I accept God's offer to be adopted into his kingdom by the blood of Jesus? Or do I surrender to this world, its thinking, its ways, its deception, its lies, and its emptiness? Man, guys, when I was in a church sitting like this one and I heard a message, about Jesus and about the Holy Spirit, about being born again, about change, about being forgiven and saved and rescued, I knew I was dead inside. So this message is for those who know, like I knew, that even though I had 1,000 things look like it was all happening good for me on the outside, I knew on the inside I was dead. And that all the good things that would happen would give me some peace and happiness for a moment, but then it would fade and I'd need to keep filling it up with more alcohol, more this, more that. And it was an empty hole inside of me, and I knew it. And if you know it too, this is your moment and this is your time. And there's so many that go to church or listen online that, man, you're just half stepping into the kingdom. You know you haven't yielded, you surrendered. You want. There's a part of you that wants to, but there's another part of you that says, "Nah, I'm not letting go of this and that. I'm gonna keep doing this. I'm gonna keep smoking dope. I'm gonna keep that." No, God, you ain't messing with that in my life. You just haven't yielded. So there's those in the room that have never prayed, and we want to pray with you. My first prayer was this. Never prayed before till this. I also want to minister to those that kind of know him, but you don't really. You don't really have that deep of a relationship. It's very shallow. And those who have tasted, have known him, and you've run away, man. You let stuff happen. Stuff happened, and you ran away from him. Instead of running to him. So whether it's your first time or your next time, but you know you need to pray. You want to be right with God. You want the Holy Spirit to help you to put to death this flesh that keeps dragging you into death and wants to kill you. Kill your relationships. Kill your mind. Kill your emotions. Kill your dreams. Your hopes. Speaking to those whose hearts are burning right now because the Holy Spirit is ministering to you, speaking to you, calling you because he loves you. Loves you. And for those that have already decided, I'm going to pray. I'm going to get this right now. I'm going to ask you to do two things. Here's the first one. On the count of three, just to raise your hand in this room and say, "It's me. I'm going to pray and I'm going to get right with God today. I'm surrendering and I'm receiving." And I know it won't be perfect tomorrow, Pastor Troy, but it's going to be better and I'm going to just keep growing. I'm going on this journey with God now, today. Today's the day it begins. Today the day I run home and I don't have to start all over. I'm going to start where I left off and just keep on going. Never to run away again. So in here, on the count of three, I ask you to raise your hand online. I'm going to ask you to send us a message. I prayed for the first time or the next time. Then after you do that, that's the first step. The second step is let's just pray together right where you're seated, right where you're at. So here we go. 1, 2, 3. Raise your hand and say it to me. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Oh, man, so many all around this room, all over this room. It's incredible. Thank you. Wow. Thank you. You can put those thank you in the back. Thank you, guys. Wow. What an incredible response. Thank you. Thank you, all of you. Wow, what an incredible response. Let's all pray with them and pray with these people online that are praying with us. And man, we're here with you. We're in this together. We're all human beings, and we're in this together. We're in this together, but not alone. For if God be for us, who can be against us? Let's pray. Say this. Say, "God, I believe you are God. In God alone. And I believe you love us. You love me. You sent Jesus, your only begotten Son, to die on a cross for my sins. What I deserved, my penalty, my price. But you raised him from the dead. And he's alive. And he defeated sin and death for me. And I receive right now the gift of your lordship, Jesus. And I declare that you are Jesus Christ, the Lord of my life. And I receive the power of the Holy Spirit to raise my spirit from the dead. And I say to you, God, my Father, I ask of you to forgive me of all my sins. And I receive your forgiveness. And by your Spirit and by your Word, I thank you. You lead me to your will, your purpose, and your plan in this life until I see you in heaven forever. Thank you for saving my life. In Jesus' name, so be it. Amen. Come on. Let's thank the Lord. God bless you. Have a great day.
Thanks for listening today. If you'd like to find out more about Church on the Move, like our service times, or how you can connect with us, you can visit cotmroswell.com.